getting around Christmas time, and as we always have some of the familiar text that we have. Going to be in Luke chapter 2. Oh, yeah, like I say, I'm on the wireless mic. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And the Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Title of the message today is Hearing God. I like that text a lot right there. And always, I think I preach on that every Christmas. I use this text somewhere along the way. I like the scenery or the imagery that I have in my mind when I see the shepherds, how I picture them. The shepherds in at night, I always picture a clear night, stars in the sky. Picture the peaceful scene, shepherds watching sheep. That's a peaceful, pretty peaceful image, in, at least in my mind, and I like that. I like that. That idyllic, peaceful image that God chose the night that He chose to send His Son to be born, come into the world, and be the Savior of the world. I read about this man who went on what they called it a silent retreat, Christian man, Christian thing, went on a silent retreat where everybody, they got together and they went somewhere. And for 2 days, you couldn't talk. I know y'all are thinking right now, I'll never make it, right? The 2 days, it was a silent retreat. They got together, and I imagine there might have been preaching involved, that kind of thing. But you yourself, personally, you didn't talk. And after a certain amount of time, they had the people write down their prayers for themselves. Write down what they would have prayed, because, you know, we're good at intercession, but sometimes weak on praying for ourselves. So they wrote down the prayers they would pray for themselves, and then at a certain point, they were allowed to speak. They weren't talking to anybody individually, but they spoke, and they would read the prayers that they wrote down for themselves out loud. And a lot of the prayers went like this. They wanted to get closer to God. Get back on track, maybe a healing from a sickness or a disease, maybe even help in recovering or healing from a loss that they might have had, or a deliverance from some circumstance that was either looming or happening in their life at that particular time. And then this question was posed to those people this way. It said, what if God intended to tell you something that He wants you to hear? Now, this is a good thought. What if God, and I believe that when any time the preaching goes out, preaching of the Word, or we read the Bible, or it doesn't even have to be that. It can be in other circumstances, everyday life, that God has something that He wants us to hear. But if you think about this, what would God want to say to you personally? If God was going to say something to you, what do you think He would say to you personally? What He might say? I was thinking about those shepherds, and I don't know where they were in their spiritual life, but supposing that it was two of them, and they decided that they were going to pray, what do you think their prayer life would have been that very night? What do you think they would have prayed before this happened? What do you think their prayer life would have looked like, or their prayer request would have looked like? Probably, I was just thinking in my mind, well, if I was a shepherd out watching sheep and There would probably be one thing would be praying about safety would be one. You know, they probably prayed for safety, probably financial needs like a lot of us, family needs, health needs, political problems. Political scene of the day wasn't all that great. That's relative, right? So maybe they would probably have prayed the same kind of prayers that people today would pray when they get together and pray. I doubt they would have been praying for a Savior from their sins. I doubt they would have prayed that. I doubt that they would have prayed, you know, God, change my heart. Personally, their own heart. Or a deliverance from their spiritual deadness. Not, we don't hear those kind of prayer requests even today after the Savior's come and was born and lived and died and was crucified and resurrected. And now we know all those. We don't hear those prayer requests today from people that are saved. I doubt that they would have prayed those prayers. The shepherds, their background of the shepherds, outcast of society somewhat, even though they were needed. They were unclean under the law. They were unclean for worship. They technically couldn't go to the temple and worship without a certain amount of time passing, a certain amount of cleansing going on just because of what they did. They were away from the temple most of the time, so they probably missed a lot of time there. They were out in the fields. But at the other side of the coin was they were humble men. They were practical men. They were contemplative men, not easily fooled. I'll put a little side note. Couldn't easily pull the wool over their eyes. Goes in line with the text, right? Not easily fooled. I mean, these probably, there's a certain amount of wisdom. Not educated men by any means, but they had practical education. You weren't going to trick these guys. These guys weren't going to be fooled by and thinking about what they were ended up going to see. They knew it wasn't a figment of their imagination. So they were contemplative and wise in their sense. They were also needful men. They had a need, as did all the world. I think about those long, lonely hours of being a shepherd. The mundane, the routine, I'm sure there were many, many, many nights just like this night up to this point. Many days the same. I'm sure that watching sheep, there was moments. There was something that come up. Maybe some kind of danger from a wild animal or something, a sheep injured, caught, stuck. I'm sure there was times that it wasn't, that it was struggles like everybody has and everything, but there were probably a lot more plain, mundane, average days or nights, and this was probably up until this point one of those. But have you ever stopped and thought when you read this or heard this story, why did an angel from God appear to a couple of shepherds out in a field watching sheep? I mean, God could, he could have do it, he could have done anything anyway. Why not kings, a king? Why not appear to a king? Why not appear to a, maybe even a priest, when you think about the priests, the religious leaders of the day? Why didn't God send angels to the religious leaders of the day so they could be the one to say, hey, this is what God is doing. This is what God is saying. Why not that? Why not them? Why not a rabbi or maybe even just a governor down from the king a little bit, some kind of a political leader? Why not? Somebody in a powerful position. You know, I just wondered about that. Why shepherds? Well, maybe, and this is my thought and the direction I'm going in the message this morning. Maybe the angel appeared to them because they were one of the few groups of people who might have had a quiet enough life to hear God speak. A quiet enough life to hear God speak. And there's a lot of illustrations in Scripture about who God spoke to in that kind of a way. And just about all of them were in a position or at a place in their life when they were their life was quiet enough to hear God speak. So I want to preach today on this thought right here, hearing God in the midst of other voices. Hearing God in the midst of other voices, like cell phones. Very first group of voices that I've got is outside voices. Outside voices. Do you ever stop and think how many outside voices that we hear all the time? Voices on the outside of our life or right, you know, near us, near enough to hear. I mean, it ends up getting to be like a bunch of barking dogs that won't stop barking. They bark all the time, nonstop, interrupting. They're irritating. They're demanding, and they're persistent. I used to go turkey hunting down on Buffalo Road, and right down from the place I used to go, this guy had a whole. I don't know how many dogs it was. I felt like killing them every week. That every time I went turkey hunting there. And they every car that came down Buffalo Road, rah, 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 they all got to barking at one time. And I was starting to think evil thoughts. I'm starting to think, you know, I wonder what kind of poison you could get to put on meat and drive by and throw it over there, you know. And I asked the guy that lived at the house that lived there, Jerry, I said, how in the world do you live here listening to that? You could be way up the holler, and you know how a holler is. It's like a megaphone, and they were down at the bottom, and it was all the way back up there, and you're trying to turkey hunt and listen to a turkey, and man, and them dogs, every car, somebody stick their big toe out the door somewhere, and they were barking. How do you live? He said, I don't even hear them. Like, yeah, he lived there so long, heard them so long. You know, he got to where he blocked it out. But a lot of times, you know, our life gets like that. There's a lot of barking dogs. There's a lot of voices. There's voices we have voices of people. You know, everybody's got an opinion about something. Everybody's got an opinion. It doesn't, you know, and that's okay. I mean, that's just the way God made us right there. But there's more experts out there on any kind of problem you have. There's more experts. I just cannot figure out how come we don't have all the world's problems solved. Because if you get around talking to anybody, political problems in America, political problems on the world, everybody knows how to fix it. This is what I would do. And they say, you know, I don't know why they don't do this. And we've got it all sorted out. Apparently, we can't get anybody that knows how to figure it out or sort it out elected into them offices. But everybody's got that. We've all got an opinion. Everybody's got an opinion about it. And I don't understand why we don't have it fixed. Now, listen, I'm not saying that we can't gain or glean wisdom from people that have experience. You know, don't take it wrong, listen, and I'm not saying never listen to anybody else, but there's a lot of outside voices sometimes, and most of the time people that want to give you their opinion don't know what they're talking about, and the people that know what they're talking about, you probably gonna have to go ask for it because they're wise enough not to give it to you without you asking, right? Now, So there's people, there's voices. And, you know, in the ministry, you know, God calls a person into the ministry. And suddenly, everybody else knows how he ought to perform that ministry. God called him into it, but God don't know how to tell him what to do, how he should do it. If you got a marriage problem, there'll be somebody out there who's been divorced 5 times, and they can tell you all about how you ought to run your marriage. Huh? They got rice marks all over their face. They've been married so many times. They know exactly how your marriage ought to go. You get the advice from those people. There's voices for everything. There's the voices of expectations. Everybody has expectations of you. Everybody does. This is how people get their feelings hurt. This is how people get mad. Because they have expectations that you don't meet. Counsel you married couples right here. This is the number one of problems in marriages. Anytime I counsel anybody that's going to get married, if you get them separated and you say, well, what are you expecting? And you say, what are you expecting? Guess what you find out 100% of the time? You're expecting something that they ain't ready for, and they're expecting something. The expectations aren't there. That's what causes a problem. That's it. So when your expectations aren't met, there's a problem there. There's a problem. But we have expectations not only in marriage, but just in other areas of our life. There's expectations. People are expecting it. And we feel that pressure sometimes. We feel that, right? So now we've got voices. We've got these barking dogs. We've got voices of other people. Everybody's opinion. We've got voices of expectations of people that are closer to us that have expectations of things. There's voices of the calendar. That old calendar's harping at you all the time. We've got the schedule. You got a job, you got a voice going to be hollering at you tomorrow morning called an alarm clock because you got to go to work. And when you get to work, there's voices at work. There's things to do. We've got these are real things. We've got the voices of the schedule, the job, the kids. We've got to get to school. The kids got to get to school or something that's going on there. There's the schedule of the doctor. The practice for the kids, the play practice, it could be any kind of sports that they're involved in. You got parents that had kids in sports, you know what I'm talking about. I loved it. I loved all that. I loved it when Kyle played football and Danielle, she played softball and all that. But I'll tell you one thing, and wrestling, good night. I was so glad when wrestling was over because it was an all-day deal every time we went somewhere. They didn't have just wrestle one school. We had to wrestle five of them. You're there all day and you had to drive. You know, you might as well get a hotel. I mean, I was glad in a way when it was over with. Then you got grandkids. Now it's coming up again, man. It never ends. It never ends. Meals, and then on top of that, ladies, you guys know meals, clothes, getting the clothes ready. There's transportation, hauling them all over the place. Then there's shopping to do everything on top of that. There's homework on top of that. And then you throw in a few other things, the holidays coming up. We've got this calendar. And listen. So now you're thinking, hey, well, when in the world would I have time to hear from God? Well, I'll tell you what, there's an effort required here. I understand. I mean, I get it. I get it. I know we've done all that. We've done all that. When would I have time? You have to make that. You know how you have to make it. Listen, let me tell you something about this. You can't save time. This is a little philosophy thing. If you don't learn anything else, learn. Everybody talks about saving time. You cannot save time. You can only spend it. That's all you can do with time. Can't save it. Only spend it. You have to put forth an effort. You have to have a time to hear God speak if you want to hear God speak. In the midst of all this, you have to just do it, whatever it takes to get it done. You have to have the time to do it. I'm the pastor. And if you study the Bible, you'll know that this is what pastors, one of their jobs is to do, is to have time to spend time in prayer, to have time to spend in the Word, study the Word of God, have time to meditate on the Word of God. There's also time to prepare the sermons that have to be preached or whatever he has to do. But yet, even in my life, there's a schedule. There's voices on the outside that can creep into my life from outside voices that can clutter that up. And I don't have the 9 to 5 and maybe a lot of things that you have. And I understand it. Well, I've been on that side of the pew as well. There's a lot of outside voices. Then we have a lot of, there's inside voices in here. If you're hearing voices in your head, see me after the service. Right. Paul, you keep an eye on them during the service. But we do have voices in our head, right? There's voices that get in there. And these inside voices, and then you wake up. How many of you wake up at night sometime? You wake up, I like to say sometime, how about all the time? You wake up, and all of a sudden you start thinking. And it's a voice in your head saying, man, you need to do this, and you need to do that. Sometimes it's the voice of that old calendar is talking to you when you wake up in the middle of the night. See, and you're thinking about this is good stuff. But then other times, you know, I believe Satan works in this area right here. The devil, he works here. And what happens? You start getting bad thoughts. You start thinking about, boy, if this happens, then that's going to happen, and then I'm going to have to do this, and it's not good. And you're sweating, and you roll this way, and you roll that way. And it's going on in your head. Negative thoughts. Well, I'm going to tell you something right here. This will help you. This helped me more than anything in my life. One of them more than anything in my life. Negative thoughts don't come from God. Harold, one time at the prayer advance I was talking about, we went there, and it was Harold or somebody, I think it was Harold himself said this. Listen, how many of you get negative thoughts? How many of you think things, like I say, you know, worrying, stressing, fretting about something that never happens. How many ever done that? You think, man, this is probably what's going to happen. And you're laying there in bed and you can't sleep. And this is going to happen. And they're going to do that. And I'm going to do this. Oh, man, what about? And it never. Or you think something. Somebody said something, done something. Somebody, and then you find out, no, that's not true. And you lay there at night, all night. Huh? Where did that come from? It didn't come from God. Negative thoughts don't come from God. And when Harold said that, I sat there thinking, wow, man, how many times have I, you know, that's good to know that. You know, it doesn't come from God. And I just say, old devil man, get behind me, Satan, like Jesus said, and roll on over there and go back to sleep. Stress, worry, it doesn't come from God. But I'm going to tell you something. It's still a real voice that detracts from hearing the voice of God. There's voices of the heart. Now, Harold Vaughn said this, and you have to pay attention close. He said, talk to yourself, but don't listen to yourself. Talk to yourself, but don't listen to yourself. Why don't listen to yourself? Because you lie to yourself. The Bible says this, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and no man can know it. So, you know, the Lord knows what's in my heart. Yeah, he does, and it's not good. It's never good. And so, you know, we lie to ourselves. That's one of the other voices. You know, the worst voice that we listen to on the inside is ourselves. Our voice. Because a lot of times we're going off our heart instead of off the Word of God. And we listen to that one voice more than any other. And that voice may be lying to you. Telling you everything's all right and it's not. Telling you you're okay and you're not. A lot of our distractions that we have in life that keeps us from hearing God are self-imposed distractions. I'm good at this one. I read about this old farmer, and he went on a carriage ride of about 5 miles. Went to carriage ride, and he had a little dog that went with him. And when they got back, dog, big dog, whatever it was, it went with him. When they got back, the dog was wiped out, laying over there, tongue hanging out, laying down. And somebody commented and said, boy, that dog looks wore out. The old farmer said, yeah. He said, but it weren't the trip that wore him out. He said, we only went about 5 miles. He went about 50 miles. He said it was the zigzagging that got him. He said there wasn't a gate open, that he didn't run in the gate and have to investigate the whole premises. It wasn't a dog barking that he didn't have to bark at. There wasn't a cat out there that he didn't have to chase. Wasn't a tree that he didn't have to go look at. He said, no. He said, it wasn't a trip. He said, it was all the zigzag. That's what wore him out. Huh? And think about our life. Huh? It's not the trip. It's not, you know, he got off course. See, it's not the course that God set for us that's wearing us out. It's the zigzagging off the path, getting back on track. Getting to the right, you know, that's the thing, running, running, running. And that's the one thing I've learned over the years of pastoring a church and having people in the church. Everybody's running. Man, they got more irons in the fire. You can't get another iron in the fire. Everybody is just woo, woo, woo. It's like that all the time. You guys know what I'm talking about. Y'all probably think, yeah, that's me. He's talking about me. Yep, it's all of us. We all get, it's running, running, running. I mean, there's just times it's just crazy. Everything happens at once. As they say. So we have the voice from the outside voices of people. We have inside voices. Some of them are Satan. Some of them are our own voice, our own doing. So then we think about the third thing, the voice of God. You know, how do we hear the voice of God? You know what white noise is? White noise is like static. That noise like that. Sometimes they use white noise. One time I let somebody use the church for, they did counseling. And just in case somebody came in, I might come in or something like that. They had a white noise machine. They set it out there and everything was like, and I asked, well, what in the world? They said, it's a white noise machine. It drowns out. What it's designed for? To drown out voices so that you can't hear. Well, that's really that's what happens to us in life. All these other voices are drowning out the voice of God. When you look up who God spoke to in the Bible, and I've studied out a lot of those people right there, and most of the time this is what happens. We just talked about the shepherds that were alone at night. I believe that's why one of the reasons, I mean, they were certainly needy people, but they weren't any needy, more spiritually speaking, than anybody else in the world. But they were just living a quiet enough life to hear from God. We think about Moses. Man, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's court, educated in the best schools of the land in Egypt at the time. He wanted to lead God's people out, but he wasn't ready to lead God's people out. And so God put him on the backside of the desert. 40 years, guess what? Watching sheep. 40 years of long, lonely nights watching sheep. But one day near the end of those 40 years, guess what? He was walking down the road, walking along the path, and he saw this bush burning up on the side of the mountain. It burned with a fire, but it wasn't consumed. And you know what he said? He's watching sheep. I don't know what else he had to do. He said, I got to turn aside to see this sight. I preached a message on that before. Turn aside. You know, sometimes to see God, to hear from God, you got to turn aside from whatever it is you're doing in life. You know, what you got to get off of that path that you're on and turn aside to really hear from God, to see what's going on with God. That's who God speaks to. And when Moses went over to that bush, God said, Moses, take your shoes off because you're on holy ground. And he talked to God. God talked to him right there. He heard the voice of God. Old Jacob, remember Jacob? Man, Jacob had a lot of outside voices. Jacob's mama was a conniver, and he was a conniver too, and she told him how to deceive his father into giving him the inheritance and giving him the blessing. And so Jacob had an outside voice of his mom. He had an outside voice of his dad. He had an outside voice of Esau. He had an outside voice eventually of his Uncle Laban. But I'm going to tell you what, on the way to Uncle Laban's, he had a lonely night out there on the laying on the ground one night, and guess what? God spoke to him. But then when he got in there with Uncle Laban, he got busy raising sheep and goats and conniving, trying to get his wife, and Uncle Laban is conniving him, and a lot was going on. And it doesn't say that God spoke to him anymore, but when he was on his way back, when things got so tense and he had to leave Laban and go back to Esau, he's worried about Esau going to kill him. He spent another lonely night on the ground. Guess what? God showed up. God spoke to him on that night as well. There was two times, both times he was alone when God had to speak to him, and I think that's significant right there. The Apostle Paul, he was traveling on the Damascus Road. He wasn't alone. The Lord did show up, but guess what? He spent 3 years in the desert. After that, God speaking to him, teaching him what he wanted him to say. John on the Isle of Patmos wrote the book of John. He was on a prison island when he got the revelation. So when you read the revelation, he was alone with God when he read that. And then old Elijah on Horeb. There's a good one right there. I like that. Old Elijah, man, he was on the run, got in a cave, spending the night one night in a cave, and guess what? Bible says there came up this fierce, this strong wind blew. And the Bible says, but God wasn't in that wind. And then there was an earthquake, and the Bible says that God wasn't in that earthquake. And then there was a fire, and the Bible says that God wasn't in that fire. God wasn't speaking through those things, let me put it that way. But then he heard this still, small voice. Still, small voice. How does God speak to us? How does God speak? It's not going to be Now, the night of that the shepherds were in the field, it says an angel appeared, and then right behind the angel came a heavenly host. It was spectacular. It was loud. It was a big event. But I'm going to tell you what, for most of us, you know how God's going to speak to you? It's going to be a still, small voice, a still small voice. Even Jesus spent time alone in the desert. Jesus went out in the desert, separated himself from the other apostles to pray to God the Father. He had to have that alone time with God the Father. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Years ago, Leon, Stella, y'all was around here long enough. Margie, you were around here, Ben. Stanley and Shelby, you was around here. Pastor Frank, the pastor that was here before me, he had a guy come in here. He's an evangelist, and his name was George Grant. Now, those of you that got any age on you, or if you know anything about this, if you like wrestling, the old wrestling that you see today, but back in the day, they had the old wrestling on black and white TV. You know what I'm talking about? There was a guy named Gorgeous George. All right, Gorgeous George, what he was, you know, you're trying to get attention. So his shtick, as they call it, was he dressed up. He was a big old guy. He dressed up in a pink tutu. you know, a ballerina outfit. And they called him Gorgeous George, and he would go out there and wrestle. Well, this was the guy. There was like three of them, but he was the original. He was the first one. George Grant was the first one. He was a wrestler in the 50s, and that's a professional wrestler. He got saved, and God used him to preach the gospel. Pastor Frank had him. He came here. And he taught us several things, and one of the things that he preached on, and I was always amazing. It's a good story. I guess it's true. Makes sense. But he said over there in Israel and in that land, when the shepherds would all get together, they would all come with their flocks. They'd have like a rendezvous. And so the shepherds would bring their flocks. They might have 100 sheep, 200 sheep, whatever. And all the other shepherds would come, and they'd get together, and all the sheep would get mixed up. They'd just be in there grazing. And the shepherds would, you know, have a party, whatever they're going to do. And he goes, when it got time for them to go, the one shepherd would take his staff, and he would start walking in the direction he wanted to go. And all he would say is, sheep, sheep, sheep. And he said, all around in them pile of sheep, them mixed up sheep, the ones that belonged to him, the ones that were his sheep, a head would pop up here and there. He said, all around. Got some sheep right here I can use illustration. A head would pop up. And he said, the sheep that didn't belong to them just kept on, they didn't pay attention to it. They just kept eating. But these sheep popped their heads up, and they would start coming out of there, getting out of the crowd, and they would follow him. And I thought, man, that's a great illustration. See, hearing, they only heard the shepherd that they were used to hearing. They could hear that voice above all the other sheep and above all the other shepherds. When Danielle and Kyle were small, and you mothers probably know this, and I don't know if you fathers paid attention. When they were babies, we had a little room for them and everything painted, you know, and all that. And we'd go to bed at night. And I could be laying in there, wasn't anything wrong with my hearing. But I lay in there, and we get ready to go to sleep. And all of a sudden, Sherry would just jump up out of bed and go running down the hall to one of them rooms. A few minutes later, she'd come back, and I said, what are you doing? She said, I heard one of them crying. I said, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear that. I could hear good. I was awake. She was listening. That's a mother, see. She is listening. She had her ears tuned in to that child, those cries that they would make. And she'd run down there to him. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you ever really heard God speak? Come on, Paul. When's the last time you heard God speak? Maybe it's right now. Maybe God's speaking to your heart right now. It's still a small voice saying, you know, maybe you need to be saved. Maybe you just need to ask Jesus to come into your heart, come into your life. Listen, let me tell you about this real quick. Salvation's not a one-time act. It's not being baptized. It's not joining the church. It's not even coming to the altar and making a profession. Salvation's when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. An everyday relationship. Sometimes that relationship gets a little strained. It's not God, it's us, but we have a relationship with Christ. Let me ask you, do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? Maybe God's speaking to you right now, today. Today's the day that you need to be saved. And if God spoke to you and said, hey, you need to be saved. Are you going to hear that voice? Are you going to listen to that voice? If you need to be saved, we'll have an invitation. You come down here to this old altar, and I'll be glad to pray with you. And you can ask the Lord to save you, forgive you of your sins. We're all sinners. We're born that way. There's none good, no, not one, the Bible says. I understand that. That's why I asked Jesus to come into my heart. 1987, got saved. Amen.